Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. How was your day, sir?
Wow, dude, great question. My day was crazy. I woke up at, I want to say, maybe like 5:30. Yeah, 5:30. And then I got up, you know, and I went with 8 friends today skiing at Keystone, Colorado. And it was a lot of fun. You know, it's still early season, so there isn't like a lot of snow hanging down, being all crazy and stuff. But dude, it was so much fun. Like they were all like learning how to snowboard. So like, I was learning how to backwards ski better. Yeah. It was just a good time. Say what?
Have you been skiing a lot?
No. So that was my first time this season since it just opened up. I want to say maybe a month ago is when snow started really coming down. One second. My cat is attacking my feet.
Chewy. Hey, no, ma'am. Why are you attacking my feet?
Before this season, had you skied a bunch before?
Oh, I would say I am a intermediate skier. Yeah.
Okay.
That involves like, you know, obviously greens, blues and blacks. And I've done like maybe a handful of double blacks, but I'm not quite super comfortable with that. I do everything from trees to mobiles.
If you made it down a double black, I think you're good. You're way better than anyone I know.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess, but in like, I see people around me that are just like way better because they were like raised in Colorado. They've done this shit since they were fucking out of the womb kind of thing. Whereas me, like I started when I was 15 and that's just like maybe once a year going, not even once a year. So,
have you snowboarded before?
I have not snowboarded and that's like the next thing I want to try. I feel like I'd be pretty decent at it just because I've done every other board sport from like surfing to windsurfing to longboarding to skateboarding. So, you know, I feel like it's the next step and I'm a visual audible learner. And so being around them today after like with like the better snowboarders in the group, teaching like the newer snowboarders how to do it and like what the right technique is and like tips and tricks.
Right.
I think it will like really help me in like my future of like when I start boarding, I already have like those in the back of my mind kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, it was a great day. And then afterwards we went to, on our way back, there's like a natural water spring where people like park and like fill up their water. It's like a flowing thing. It's crazy. I filled up my water bottle and it tasted amazing. This water.
That's awesome.
And they've like, and they've like run tests on it and it's like really pure. And then after that we went and got, obviously we had to get some grub.
Right.
And we all carpooled. So I couldn't just like take off. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun. How was your day today?
Now I'm back. Pretty chill. I would like to start off by saying I was just talking to Elena the other day. I'd really like to try both skiing and snowboarding. I haven't done either.
Oh yeah.
But
oh dude, we could totally do it if you want to spend that money.
Yeah, I don't know.
We could do it for a day.
Expensive renting all that gear.
It is. It's expensive, and I think for like newcomers to the sport, I think the best thing for you to do is like really plan out like a week of you going there and like a non-stressful week so that you don't like feel like you have to go hit fucking giant mountains, but like take lessons.
Also, that's because like the most coming over thing. During a holiday, the plane tickets were kind of expensive. So
if we
were coming over during like off season, then we might have a little bit more money for that kind of a thing.
Yeah. I mean, y'all can always take that drive down.
That 12 to 13 hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can make it like a 2-day road trip for you guys. You can hit things along the way and then your end destination is my place.
That's true. Oh, well, maybe next time.
Yeah. Or you guys could just move here, you know?
We'll see.
I mean, we'll see.
I haven't really done too much today. Honestly, I'm trying to remember what I did. I woke up.
Did you game?
And yeah, I gamed a little bit.
There we go.
What did I do today? I'm drawing a complete blank, dude.
No way.
I edited.
Well, did you do anything fun over the weekend?
Podcast.
Hell yeah! That. I saw it. You it came out today, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah! Everyone, go listen to it currently now. Unless you've already listened to it, in which case, good job. Thank you.
And
much love.
Yeah. By the time this episode comes out, I will already be back from visiting you. So.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
Oh, well, how was it? How was visiting me? Did you like it? future tense. Yeah,
we had so much fun.
It was so much fun.
We recorded a whole other episode while we were there.
Oh my God. I love that. But awesome. Cool. I mean, I guess you had a good weekend then. If you had no negatives, no positives, it's very neutral.
I've been chilling. Yesterday. Okay. So that I feel like that's why today has been very nothing, but yesterday, Bentonville had their like tree lighting. And so the whole, like the downtown square and a bunch of stuff around that area, like they officially lit up all the Christmas lights and stuff. And there's an ice rink a little bit off the square. It's like very small, like probably only like 50 feet across. Like it's real tiny. And they had a little show there where a bunch of kids came out and did like ice skating tricks. Like I'm not professional because they're children, but like trained ice skating peoples, you know. I think the oldest one was like maybe 17, but yeah, it's a lot of little kids going out there and doing stuff that I would definitely fall on my ass if I tried.
Same, probably. Wow, that's awesome. Is that like a whole thing, city thing, like everyone gathers, all 100 people?
Oh yeah, parking was ridiculous. It was so busy.
Why don't you guys just Uber in at that point?
Because it's cheaper to drive yourself.
That's true. Yeah, fair. Well, awesome. Did it look pretty with the lights and stuff?
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
Did y'all do like a countdown? Like, I don't know how that works. Did you do like a 3, 2, 1 and then did they fucking hit the switch?
Well, by the time I got there, the lights were already on. I missed it by like two minutes.
No. Oh, that's sad.
But we still like walked around and enjoyed everything.
Had a good time. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, good. I'm glad you had like a nice chill day today and I had the exact opposite.
Yeah.
My day literally started at 5 and it's still going. So let's do this thing. What movie are we reviewing today? That's a great segue.
Today, we're going to be talking about the 2022 movie, Thor: Love and Thunder. It was directed and written by Taika Waititi and stars Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, and Christian Bale.
A great, great actors and actresses. It's a great squad they have in this movie. I very much enjoyed watching all of them together.
Yeah. This movie cost $250 million and it made about $760 million.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not as much as I thought it should have made, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, speaking of how much you think it should have made, what did you think about Thor: Love and Thunder?
Man, I loved this movie. I'm just going to say, I think this might be actually one of my favorite Avenger movies I've watched.
Interesting.
There's just so much in it, like from comedy to like, you know, good action to like, I don't know. I think it was all around just good. Like the visual imagery we received while going through this movie.
Yeah.
I think the whole everything was just great. I liked it a lot. I would watch this movie a second and third time probably.
All right.
Maybe just a second time. What about you?
This is actually one of my least favorite of at least phase four.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
I feel like it just went a little too far and it felt very unbalanced. And I don't know. I just think maybe it's because, and I don't want to like blame it entirely on Taika, but for example, Thor Ragnarok was also directed by Taika Waititi, but it was written by someone else. This movie was written and directed by Taika, and I feel like maybe he is not as strong of a writer as he is a director.
Interesting. That's upsetting that you thought that, but
we can get more into it more later. But yeah,
exactly.
This one was a little not my flavor.
Interesting. Well, it is what it is.
But first,
it is what it is.
Let's step into the boxing ring.
Let's do it.
Remember who went first last time?
I think I went first last time. Pretty sure.
Well, I'll give it a shot then.
Let's do it.
I'll say when gods start dying across the galaxy, Thor must team up with an old ally to defeat the God Butcher.
Okay.
That's what I'll say.
All right. All right. All right. I will say Thor was savagely interrupted from his inner quest piece by the God Butcher and needs to team with the Avengers and other to prevent more gods and figure out why this is happening.
All right. This says, after his retirement is interrupted by Gore the God Butcher, a galactic killer who seeks the extinction of the gods, Thor enlists the help of King Valkyrie, Korg, and ex-girlfriend Jane Foster, who now inexplicably wields Mjolnir as the Mighty Thor. Together, they embark upon a harrowing cosmic adventure to uncover the mystery of the God Butcher's vengeance and stop him before it's too late.
Oh, a mouthful.
Yeah, also, I mean, it's, I don't think they really tried to hide it too much in any of the, like, promotional stuff, but if anyone went into this not knowing that Jane was also Thor, then I guess that's a bit of a spoiler.
But I mean, it was it in the, like, the commercial run of it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. That's so, like, not a spoiler. No.
Yeah. If people,
that doesn't count.
I feel like people who are serious enough to, like, avoid watching a trailer, then they will probably not going to listen to this before watching the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you probably got this one because in the beginning you mentioned the, like, quest for inner peace and this says, like, retirement, but it did indeed get interrupted, which you mentioned.
I did. That was probably one of the best parts of this fucking movie. I loved it. The start was just so strong, in my opinion. I don't know.
I think that's a pretty easy win for you on that one.
Oh, let's go. All right, cool. Perfect. And I don't even have notes for this movie, so
good luck me.
Dude, okay. So for everyone, Cayman and the audience included, okay? I take notes on my phone when I watch the movie. And apparently what my genius self did was for the movie that we recorded and released already prior the previous one.
Yeah.
I noted over those notes.
How do you even do that?
I think I just went on the same notes, like literally highlighted everything and just deleted it. I'm a genius. I know. I can't tell you. I don't know. I've done that with like my previous movies. So I think I was just in the habit of it. And I didn't even notice until let me go look at my notes and they're just gone.
That's a bad habit.
I know.
I always just delete the entire note and then create a new note.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I like highlight the notes and then send it to myself via email when I finish it. Right.
Yeah.
And so like then those notes are like useless and they're already highlighted. And so when I go back into those notes, I just like, you know, backspace and they're gone.
Well, do you have the email?
Well, I didn't send that email to myself. That one I actually highlighted and just deleted like a genius. So I'm just going to go off my memory because I actually like this movie a lot. So I'm going to probably piggyback off what Cayman says, and then I'll probably have some stuff to add here and there.
In the future, you should just like make a new note. Because then if you accidentally delete it, you can go into your deleted notes and then recover it.
I went to my deleted notes. I was like, please tell me if I can delete this shit. But I never delete notes, so I already knew.
Wild.
That is, again, my fault, obviously. And I was pissed because, dude, my notes were fucking gold. Okay. My notes were something to be put in a frame and hung up on a wall. All right.
Okay. Well, let's hope you remember at least some of them.
Yeah, true.
All right. Let's take a quick break.
How does this movie start again? No, I'm kidding.
And then we'll come back.
All right. Let's do it.
You want to do your spoiler warning?
Oh my god. It's never me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the spoiler warning. If you don't want the movie to be spoiled, don't listen.
Wow, all right. Echoey that time.
It's very echoey. That was a different one. I know. A little spice. So,
all right. I'm gonna let you start.
I mean, we can just hop into the peace and tranquility of Thor at the beginning of this movie. What did you think?
I thought it was fun. I think especially because I feel like the first time I saw it, I was a little bit disappointed because at the end of Endgame, you see Thor go off with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And I was like, oh, how exciting to see like more adventures with them. And then it's like you get a 10-minute scene and then the Guardians peace out. And I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to see more of them interacting. But I understand like the story that this movie is trying to do doesn't really have a place for the Guardians. So it makes sense that they got them out of there in the beginning.
Right, right. Wait,
But the actual fight scene was fun.
It was hilarious, wasn't it? I mean, that was probably one of the most comedic fight scenes I think I've seen in all of the Avengers series. Just because he was acting in a straight up fool, but he really believed it, I feel like.
Yeah. And he had like the torn sleeve, like leather vest and...
Yeah, he looked like a rock star, and then when he started fighting him, like, just this, like, heavy metal music started playing, and then, like, he, like, caught the cars between his hands, and he was, like, holding them apart, but then he was like, this is a problem, but, and then, of course, when he killed everyone, their, like, palace that those alien critters had, which they worshipped, was, like a glass palace, for those of you who maybe haven't seen it, it just fell to the ground and, like, completely shattered. It was awesome. It was awesome.
But that's not even the actual beginning of the movie. And that at the beginning ties into my first notes, which is with Gore, Christian Bale's character, walking through the desert with his daughter. And
Right.
My very first note for this movie was that Christian Bale, I think, acted his ass off. I think he was probably the best part of this movie for me. I think he did an amazing job.
Oh, he was fantastic. Honestly though, at the beginning I was a little bit confused because I didn't know who this guy was, right?
Yeah.
I had no fucking clue. And you know, all the stuff happened like with his daughter and him in like the desert and you know, all the sad shit happening.
Yeah.
And I was confused like how like this ties into Marvel because like I don't think any Marvel movie had ever started like that, right? Like with a character that we just don't even know without the Avengers and all that stuff.
I mean, technically a lot of them start with a character we don't even know if it's like the first movie for that person.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like if the first Thor movie, no one knows who Thor is until the movie starts.
Oh, come on. You know what I mean? Like this deep into... like the Avengers series, I feel like I should have known who that person was. That obviously adds to the magic. It adds to the writing of the movie. I understand. But I don't know. I guess it was a great buildup, you know?
Yeah.
I was just a little bit confused. At first I was like, is this a Thor movie? Is this an Avenger movie? Is this anything that I'm going to know? But I think it started off well. The cinematography was great. I think that the depiction and like you said, the acting, the sorrow that he felt for his daughter, which was basically the setup for the whole movie, was just so strong. And his belief in his God,
right,
whom he later met, was also so unbelievably strong. And then he was let down.
Yeah.
And then one of like the biggest quotes of this movie, I feel like, was what does it say? Like, never meet your heroes or something?
I mean, yeah, I feel like that's a pretty common saying.
Is it? I've never really thought that was a big thing. Like this whole movie was basically based around or like built off of that, I should say, as like the starting grounds.
Yeah, I think in the opening scene and also later in the movie when he's like being menacing and like when he's tormenting the kids in the cage and like all of the creepy stuff that he does later is just like just amazing. And I think it's so strong that it like also contributes to like part of why I didn't like this movie, which is because I feel like it almost feels like Christian Bale was in a completely different movie from everyone else. Like there was never a moment where he felt silly. Like he was always like serious and menacing and scary and he just felt like he was putting more effort into the dramatic side versus everyone else was like, I think more on the comedic side. And so it just like that's part of the like unbalanced part I was talking about earlier, as I feel like some parts of this movie felt very serious and other parts were very funny, but they weren't, it didn't match up the same way it did in Thor Ragnarok. It felt like it was very haphazard.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, granted, I agree with what you're saying. However, like, if I see his character, like, just singled out, I don't think any comedic anything should have come with that character.
No, I don't because either.
It was, yeah, right. But that's, like, the thing, like, where does it, why do you say then he had no comedic, if you didn't think he needed any of it?
Well, I'm just saying in comparison to everyone else, like, if you're going to a character that serious, then it sort of makes it feel weird when every other character in the movie is being super funny all the time.
But I don't think every other character was funny all the time, were they?
I mean they I think Thor tried not to, but even in the scenes where they were dealing with like Jane's cancer, like, I don't know, it never really felt that serious. That was funny to me. No, really? I'm saying it wasn't funny.
Oh, like it wasn't serious enough for you?
Yeah, it wasn't funny, but it wasn't as serious as I think it needed to be.
And is that maybe because Gore was just acting his ass off?
I mean, I'm not trying to say like anyone else did a bad job of acting. I think they were just acting. I feel like they had a different idea of what this movie was supposed to be versus what he was like. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like they told Christian Bale, hey, this is going to be a dramatic movie about a person losing his daughter and then going on a revenge mission. And then everyone else was told that they're in a comedy movie. And so they're just like, they act so differently.
Okay, so it's like that movie series where the dad loses his daughter and he goes like to revenge and kills all of them.
You mean Taken?
Taken, yes, Taken.
Yeah, no, Taken. I don't think this is like Taken.
Well, no, but he could have been basically in Taken because there's no comedic anything in Taken.
Yeah, right? I suppose.
So it's like it's like Taken and the Avengers smushed together. That serious note on for one character. But I get it, but I feel like, to me, the amount of comedy that came from most of the other characters, right, versus the lack, just the pure lack of comedy that came from Gore, I feel like that really made it special every time we interacted with Gore.
I guess. A lot of the stuff I felt like wasn't that funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, damn, like, that's news to me. Maybe like, I'm just like,
for example, like
a good time.
I think there was, first of all, I think there was way too much Korg in this movie. I think Korg was really funny in Ragnarok, but he was overused in this movie. He had three different like narration scenes, and the whole thing with him like making a big deal about dying, and then he's like, oh, my face is still alive, and they carry his face around. I'm like, I love Korg, but it's too much. He needs to be more of a side character.
What? I love Korg.
I feel like Korg had more screen time in this movie than Jane did.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe he deserved it.
I don't think so. He's not that funny.
I don't know. But like, okay, let's talk about, since we're talking about Korg, I think he looked so good, like a real master of the, like an action figure, like straight up. He looked good in this movie. And that ties back into also Thor's outfit in this movie. I think Thor's outfit in this movie was one of the best in all of the Avengers.
Yeah, I didn't dig the new outfit either.
What?
It was kind of average to me. That I think he's had better outfits. And the helmets, both of their helmets were absolutely terrible. I hated Thor's helmet. I hated Jane's helmet. They were awful helmets.
I think Jane's helmet was kind of dog shit, but I think Thor's was kind of cool.
It was dumb.
I don't know. I liked like all the color that they put into the suit. I like the symmetry of it. And I think it looked clean, not like rugged and sharp, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel that.
I don't know. I liked his outfit. I really did. But I also liked Korg. I think he did a great job.
I didn't dislike his outfit. I don't think it's his best outfit, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I just liked all the colors. And it just looked clean. Because like the other ones, I don't know, man. Even in the last movie, they looked kind of scrappy to me. But here, this one was clean.
I guess maybe I don't remember exactly what his outfit looked like in the last one, but
not as good. I don't know. But then also like at one point he had like, you know, the suit on, but then he had like the cape with the animal skin on it. I don't know. I think it looked pretty cool. And like that scene, I think it was actually the first scene where Thor interacted with Gore when Gore was like attacking the city, and then Thor, and that's also when he met what's her face the first time?
Jane.
Jane. I think his outfit in that scene was just great too, because it didn't have all that color. It was a black chest plate with like gold, and then like the big ass fucking fur robe thingy. I think it was pretty cool. I liked it. I dug it.
Okay.
Outfits are cool.
But yeah, I think Korg was too much. I think though the screaming goats got old really fast for me.
Okay, I agree with that. Those guys could have been cut a long while ago.
Yeah, it was like funny in the beginning, but then they like kept going back to it throughout the whole movie, and I was like,
yeah.
I mean, wasn't funny anymore.
Granted, I did like how they used the goats as like fucking reindeer on their like ship. I thought that was pretty fucking funny. I don't know why. Like, I don't think they're magical in any way, right? They just scream. They're like, ah!
I mean, I don't know. They seem to be able to, like, I don't know. I guess not. No, I don't think they're magical. They never really exhibit any magical powers.
I mean, okay, so Thor's axe hammer was like making that. Stormbreaker was like making, yeah, I love that you know all these names, good for you. was like making that rainbow road, right?
Right, the Bifrost.
The Bifrost, and then maybe the goats were just pulling the ship?
Yeah, I think they were just running on the Bifrost. I don't think the goats can fly or anything.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, the goats did kind of, I think the first three times they were good, but then it kind of was like, yeah, you know.
I think it was funny right up until Thor made the joke about eating them, and then they shut up, and I was like, oh, that's funny. And then they should have stayed shut up after that.
Yeah, Loki.
And then even there was like
a show.
The like when they're going through, and like Asgard has become like a huge tourist destination, and they have the ice cream store called Infinity Cones, and it has the giant Infinity Gauntlet on the front, and I was like, what a tasteless joke. Like, could you imagine if something like that in the real world, like this huge tragedy that killed millions of people, and you're going to like make a joke and name your ice cream store after it? Like, that's not funny to me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I actually didn't even catch it, quite honestly, but.
And I didn't think the play was funny in this one.
The play. Yeah, I don't even remember it. So it must not have been like
that. They did the whole thing. They did the scene of Odin dying.
Oh, wait. They had, yeah. No, I thought that was funny.
I didn't think it was funny.
Really? Maybe I like the character. Again, they casted real good actors to be, you know, playing roles. Maybe that's the part that I liked, because it was like so out of the role that I usually see those actors playing that it was funny.
Well,
maybe
that's why I heard about it. Melissa McCarthy is normally a comedic actor, so it wasn't really out of place for her.
Oh, also, I don't know who that was anyway.
That's the one that was playing Hela.
Yeah. Her, I have no idea who that it was normally. No,
but she's also a famous, like, funny actor. But also, I don't think she's funny in almost anything that she's in. So.
Oh, God. That hard take. Hot take. Sorry. Hot take.
So, yeah. It was just like stuff like that. I feel like there was a lot of jokes in this movie that they just weren't funny to me.
Yeah. They were. I mean, it was joke packed. That's for damn sure. Okay. Moving aside from all the great jokes that they had in the movie and some overkill jokes,
I will say there was, got old. If I have to end this on a positive note, there was one joke that I thought was like,
oh, this must be good.
Probably my favorite, like, funny bit was the whole thing with like Stormbreaker getting jealous and like him treating Mjolnir like an ex, and every time he like tries to touch it, and then the axe shows up in the corner, and he's like, no, it's just like, it's not a big deal, it's in the past.
Yeah, like hovers like right beside him. Yeah, he's like, oh no, don't worry about it.
I thought that's funny.
And that happened a few times. A few times. And I think that also never mind. I was gonna say, like, didn't that also happen in the movie prior to, but no. What did you think about Thor's, I think it was like a quick scene of him getting fit again?
I mean, it made sense. I think we're past depressed Thor, and obviously he's like you said, trying to find his inner peace. He's retiring. He's hanging out with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and it makes sense that he would get back in shape.
Right. But did you notice anything about that scene?
What am I supposed to be noticing?
Okay, so he was like using some giant shackles, basically. You know, like in the gym when people use like those ropes and they throw up and down kind of thing. So he was using some massive fucking shackles.
Okay.
And he was wearing a hat that said Strongest Avenger.
Oh.
I mean, you know, talk about affirmation to get back to shape. Like,
yeah,
this man was, I thought that was funny. It was like a, red, white hat. I don't remember exactly.
I must have missed that one. That sounds funny though.
Yeah. It said like Strongest Avenger, and he was like still fat at that point. He was trying to get back into shape. And I was like, that's good. That is really good.
Yeah, but let's see here. Also didn't really make much sense to me in the, like the opening stuff with, when we see, Jane doing chemo or whatever. And, there's just a couple things that were like kind of meh to me. The first one was like, cause there's the person sitting next to her that was reading her book, and she was like, oh wow, I wrote that. And he's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Yeah. And then like starts talking to her about the book, and he's like, oh my god, it's so confusing. And then she like rips out the piece of paper and folds it in half and shoves the pen through, and I'm like, that is like, can we just be past that, like as a society? I don't want to see any more people folding paper in half and shoving a pen through it, because that has been the default movie explanation of wormholes for like 30, 40 years. Every time a character in a movie is like, this is how wormholes work. They take a piece of paper, they fold it in half, and they shove something through it. I'm like, bro, we get it.
But you know, not all the kids have seen that. They don't know it yet.
But come up with something different though. There are other ways to explain wormholes.
How? With nearby objects right now on your desk.
I'm not an astrophysicist, but if I thought about it, if I was being paid to write something for a movie, I would think of something better.
I feel you. Yeah. I mean, I didn't exactly understand why that was even in that scene. It seemed kind of out of place, honestly.
Yeah.
I just kind of looked past it, quite honestly.
Then we see her like later after she leaves chemo, she's like running blood tests and stuff and like staring at cells. And I guess that like the idea is that she's trying to like solve her own cancer. But that also doesn't really make sense, because she is not even almost in the medical field. She's an astrophysicist. So I was just like, how the fuck does she even like know what she's doing? Like, ask someone whose job it is. If she was like on the phone with a doctor or something, then it would make sense. But she was like doing her own tests as if she knows what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Just like little things like that.
Yeah, but like those are like just so small, like side things, you know, they shouldn't be carrying that much weight. I feel like,
I mean, but I feel like the whole movie was a bunch of little side things.
Maybe.
Okay. I'll jump to a bigger thing, which I have a problem with, is Christian Bale's character is called Gore the God Butcher. And throughout the entire movie, we only ever see him butccher one God. And that's at the very beginning. And it is
We hear about other gods being killed.
That's boring. I don't want to hear about other gods dying. We should be able to see him going around killing gods.
Wait a second here. Because it wasn't there a movie prior to where I was like, yeah, I want to see more of this. And you're like, no, that'd just be repetitive and boring. And now you're saying you want to see more of him killing gods?
That's a different situation.
How is that different? It's the same shit. I don't care. I've seen him kill one god. I know how it is. And he also tried to attack that city. So we got another like scene basically of how he would do it. He just summoned these dark fucking things and then go and kill the gods with his little swordie.
Nah, if you're going to have a character called the God Butcher, we need to see him butcher some gods. Show, don't tell. First rule of good filmmaking.
I mean, I get it, right? But at the same time, it wasn't really... I mean, it was about him butchering the gods, but it wasn't really about him like butchering the gods. You know what I mean?
But that doesn't mean they can't show him. Like, they even had the whole scene with him, like... Because I think the first thing you see is like when he's with the Guardians and they're like, oh, look at, there's all these distress signals, and all of them are like people being like, oh my God, our God just got murdered or something like that. I'm just like, if they had just shown a couple snippets of it, just like, even if it was like a montage of him just like, stab this guy, cut that guy. Like, I feel like we needed to see more of that.
I mean, granted, I think I would have loved to see that, right? Because I love action. And if I see some dude killing gods, the more the merrier, right? But I do think that may have evened out when I saw Zeus and like all those other gods in like that secret heaven place that they go to. I think me seeing all of those gods alive and like, you know, being weird and sexual and all that stuff, I think that kind of like evened it out because I saw all these gods that were talking about this guy going around killing, you know, low level gods is what Zeus said. So maybe that like that's why I didn't really care to see more of it, because like I was able to see Zeus. I feel like them talking about Zeus and his thunderbolt, and like if we didn't see Zeus, then that would have been a problem for me. But since we saw him kill one god, he's just going to be killing all of them the same way. And that scene with like the first god killing, I feel like was so well done. I mean, yeah, a montage would have been fun to see, of course, but I don't think it changes my opinion of like the fact that gods were dying and that gods knew of this happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I just but, like,
I mean, granted, I mean, I would have loved to see gods get killed. Don't get me wrong.
The other thing is like, again, going back to it feeling like this movie doesn't really know where it wanted to go, is I almost feel like we could have had a movie about Jane having cancer and that whole thing, and then a separate movie about Thor fighting Gore the God Butcher, like trying to balance his thing of like going around the galaxy and killing all these people and we have to stop him, and then on the other hand you have like, oh, my girlfriend's dying but she's trying to be a superhero, but then being a superhero is also killing her. Like, I feel like both of those are strong enough plots that they could carry their own movies. When you try and put those things both together in one movie, then it feels like there's not really enough time for either of them to be fully fleshed out.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, well, let me try to get you to say something, I guess, good, question mark, or just like, you know, nothing. What did you think about the new Asgard?
I mean,
like all the scenes that we saw in there.
It's fine. I think it makes sense that it would become a tourist town, because obviously people are like, oh my god, these people are like from outer space. I didn't mind most of that, and even like the stuff with like King Valkyrie doing the Old Spice commercial and stuff, and
yeah,
people giving tours, and he's like, look, here's Mjolnir shattered on the ground.
At first I thought like, oh, like this is a fake Mjolnir, but then I've later found out no, that's like the legit one.
Yeah, well, because it no one can pick it up, so they just like dug up the piece of earth that it was sitting on.
that's true. That's funny. I mean, I thought that was a great,
yeah, all that stuff was fine. I didn't mind that. It was just like,
yeah,
the ice cream shop and the play I didn't like so much, but other than that, everything else with Asgard I think was good.
What about Olympus?
You mean Omnipotent City?
Is it Omnipotent City or is it Olympus?
No, Olympus is like specifically for like Zeus and the other Greek gods. Omnipotent City is where all of the gods go.
Wait, but didn't they go to Olympus first? I'm so confused.
No, the place that, was that they I'm went pretty with all sure. the gods was called Omnipotent City.
No, that was at the end. That's where all the gods... What? Are you sure?
Yeah, there's no Olympus in this movie.
I gotta Google this. Hold on. Okay, yes. Yeah, so they travel to the pantheon of all the gods in the universe known as Omnipotent City.
Yep.
Interesting. Wait. It says here, because the question was, is Omnipotent City Olympus? And it says, yes, there is a city of the gods, and it's not just the top of Mount Olympus where the Greek gods used to dwell in mythology. It's a safe haven for deities and may or may not care about the people they rule over. That may or may not care about the people they rule over. Wait, so is it the same thing or is it a part of it? That's just like the higher hiding spot.
I think it's a different thing. I don't know what website that is, but they never said Olympus in the movie.
That was /film.com.
Never heard of them.
I have no idea. I don't know. Okay, well, I obviously don't know what Greek. I thought, I deadass thought they said Olympus at one point. The first time they went in there, they were walking down that walkway. They were like, yeah, this is Olympus where all the gods live. I was like, cool. Okay, well, fuck that then. What did you think about Omnipotent City and like how they presented the gods and all that?
Yeah, I was fine with that too. I think it makes sense that, especially if we're going to, I mean, obviously we don't get to see like the opinions of that many gods. And so you can like, obviously right. Zeus doesn't give a shit. And he's like, yeah, I just want to talk about the orgy. And so on the one hand, it's like you kind of have to question whether Gore is right or not, because he's like, oh, all the gods are stupid and they don't protect anyone. And then you see this place and obviously none of these gods are trying to protect anyone. So I'm like, is Thor the only good god in the universe? Like, that seems a little hard to believe. I feel like there There's probably some other good gods out there, but also I'm okay with them not exploring that because it makes sense story-wise for them to like go and visit this place and then not get any help.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't like the most exciting scene, but I didn't dislike it. I thought it was fine. I thought gorgeous visuals, obviously, and Russell Crowe as Zeus was hilarious. I loved his stupid Greek accent that he was trying to do the
whole time. Yeah. Okay. So I actually watched. I'm glad you see. This was one of the things in my notes that was amazing. I actually watched this movie with a group of maybe 8 people,
yeah.
And one of them was actually a Greek person.
Okay.
And during the movie, he was like, this actor's Greek accent is on point. His American speaking Greek accent was apparently on point. Like, this Greek guy was like mind blown that it was like so like good. And I was like, oh, sick. I can talk about that now on my podcast. And they were all like, are you writing that down on your notes? Are you writing that down on your notes? I was like, fuck yeah, I am. This is That's perfect. Funny. This is gold. Keep going. But yeah, apparently like it was an actual good accent. So.
Nice.
Props to that actor, you know?
Yeah.
For doing his homework.
I think Russell Crowe is from New Zealand.
Huh. Well, he did a good job then.
There was one thing that I just like, I always feel weird if I don't mention, but like the whole thing where he like flicks the clothes off and Thor is naked.
And have you seen his butt shot and all the girls like,
First of all, Chris Hemsworth is in amazing shape. Like, his body looks amazing.
I mean, yeah. Did you see the chains he was throwing?
Dude. But also, I like every time I see a joke like that, I've mentioned this in previous movies as well, but I'm just like, what would people react the same way to this scene?
If it was a woman?
If it was a woman got naked and then all the dudes in the crowd are like, oh my God. Like, I feel like it wouldn't go over as smoothly.
Yeah, true. But they showed like women in bras, I think at one point. This movie.
Yeah, but they didn't make a big deal out of it.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of like a societal thing that we're living in is like,
it's just like a weird double standard.
Sexually assaulting men is just not really that big of a deal. Like, literally yesterday I was with a group of people and this woman just like grabbed this guy's pec and like squeezed it as if he had tits, and I was like,
yeah,
that is just a weird thing to just do. Like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. Granted, I'm not trying to downplay, you know, the sexual harassment women go through, but at the same time, bringing awareness to like dudes also go through that shit. They just don't talk about it because they're a guy.
Right. Because people treat it like it's not a big deal.
No, they're like, well, we've been doing this forever. So, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's not really how it works. It's either you are on the side of like, don't touch people, you know, or you're on the side of like, touch whoever you want in whichever way you want.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you. I mean, I think that may have actually been one of the notes I wrote down. But yeah, I mean, girls love swooning over dudes' butts. And I guess, you know, it is just a guy's butt. Sure, whatever. But at this, I mean, I don't know. I guess there are a ton of rated R movies where we see, you know, other body parts. Wait, what is this movie rated, actually?
PG-13.
PG-13. Wow. Okay. I mean, I guess it is just a butt and it was funny, but I don't know. I mean, the funny part came after his clothes disappeared is when like Zeus looked at, you know, the gang that was with Thor and he was about like, to flick their clothes off.
I remove your disguises as well. And they were like, nope, wait, disguises are off.
Yep. They're like, no, don't worry about it. I thought that was funny, but you know, well, it is what it is. I mean, what are we going to do against that? There's nothing that you can do.
Yeah.
I feel like Thor as the guy doing that acting part should have said something, you know?
I mean, yeah, obviously he didn't have a problem with getting naked for the film and no one else who was involved in making the movie brought it up, but it's jokes like that always feel a little weird to me.
I would agree with that. I mean, yeah, there's nothing you can really say against it, or I guess, I mean, you could say something against it, but it just wouldn't be proper and it wouldn't be correct. But yeah.
On to my next point. I think because obviously the Gore's like ultimate goal is to reach eternity, which is this like cosmic being at the center of the universe. And they're like, oh, whoever gets there first gets a free wish. And I mean, obviously in the real world, the reason that this is only just being mentioned now is because previous filmmakers either didn't know about it or chose not to put it in their movie. But Like I've seen a lot of discourse online about like, oh, well, if you can just get a wish granted, like why didn't Thanos just go to Eternity instead of doing all of that work trying to get all the Infinity Stones? Like, wouldn't going to Eternity be easier?
Oh, but true.
I feel like I can buy the idea that Thanos just didn't know about Eternity because not everyone knows everything. So I'm like, that's fine. Thanos probably just didn't know that that was a thing he could do. But if we do know that the Asgardians know about it because Sif is the one that explains it. And so, or no, it's not Sif. It's Valkyrie, because it's when they're in Omnipotent City, Zeus is like, don't worry, he won't reach Eternity. And then Jane's like, what's Eternity? And Valkyrie's like, oh, it's a thing at the center of the universe. So it's like, obviously the Asgardians know that Eternity is a thing. So then my question isn't about Thanos. My question is, why after the snap, rather than relying on Tony Stark maybe being able to create time travel, they could have just gone to Eternity and been like, hey, actually, could I just wish for everyone to come back?
Wait, true. Wait, how did Thor not think of that?
That's what I'm saying. I think.
Yeah.
Thor probably knew about Eternity and just chose not to do that for some reason. Obviously, I'm not going to hold that against the movie too hard because, as I said, the real reason is just that when they were making Infinity War and Endgame, they didn't think about it.
You needed the Thor hammer and the sword to open it.
No, you just need the axe.
I thought you needed both. You needed the sword too.
No, I'm pretty sure, because the key to Eternity is the Bifrost, and Stormbreaker can create Bifrost on its own.
I could have sworn that sword has something to do with it too.
Yeah, because remember they broke the sword at the end, and the portal still opened.
Yeah, that's true. Damn, I mean that's a good fucking thought. Yeah, I wonder if there's like some Reddit page about that.
Maybe.
I'm sure there is.
But also, speaking about the sword, so they call it the Necro Sword in the movie, but in the comics it's called All Black. Because technically when you remember how Hela in Thor Ragnarok could like make like knives and swords appear and like throw them at people.
Yeah.
Technically those are also Necro Blades. So it kind of doesn't make sense to just call this the Necro Sword, because that's a category of weapons.
Maybe it's the one though, you know, like the OG.
Well, that's why I think it. I don't know why they didn't just call it All Black. There's no reason not to call it that. But All Black. What?
All Black? Just call it All Black?
Yeah, that's what it's called in the comic. It's not like people are unfamiliar with swords having names. Lots of swords have names.
Yeah, but maybe they're trying to not put like this evil sword as to be called All Black.
I mean, it literally was a black sword, though.
I mean, it sounds just kind of racist. Like,
does it?
A little bit. It's like, oh yeah, this sword can kill gods and is like the most evil thing in the world. It's called All Black.
Yeah, but that's not a race thing. It's literally a black sword.
I don't know, man. People will take that shit out of context and throw a fit.
Well, that's their fault.
Well, and then like imagine if like the hammer was called the White.
Well, but like, because I mean, you could make the same argument about like when they go to that planet and they're like, oh wow, there's no color here. And I'm sure there's some idiot out there like, what's wrong with color, huh?
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I
feel like people are always just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, granted, yes, but people take that shit out of context so quick. That's probably one of the things that was brought up in that production studio when they were talking about the like calling it All Black. I'm sure that came to the table and then someone struck it down like, not in this time of day, not this year, 2022.
So that's that wasn't even my main point about All Black. But
I heard All Black and I was like, yeah, probably not the best name.
But so at the end, Thor is like holding, because he's got the Thunderbolt and he's like holding back Gore, and then Jane throws Mjolnir and shatters All Black. And I guess it like, I don't know, I just was confused why that time it broke when they've been fighting with it the whole time. And like even a couple minutes earlier, she threw the hammer and he blocks it with the sword and like knocks it out of the way. But then for some reason that time when she hit it with the hammer, it broke. I don't know why it broke that time and not any of the other times.
Maybe it's just a harder hit.
So she was holding back before.
She put more muscle into it. She was working out. And it worked out for her.
Ridiculous.
Genius. You call it ridiculous? I call it genius.
Ridiculous.
Genius. What did you think about Mjolnir's new attack?
Like being able to split apart and stuff like that?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's dope. I love that.
That was sick as shit. The first time I saw that, I was like, oh, shit. That's way better than just like being one big thing, you know? Like,
yeah.
Killed like 40 people at the same time.
For sure.
Pretty dope. Pretty cool.
Yeah, there were, I guess I maybe didn't write enough of them down because they weren't like outstanding to me. Like nothing in this movie. Well, a couple things that I've mentioned already, but like there weren't a lot of things in this movie that made me go like, wow, I really need to write this down. But that doesn't mean that I didn't like anything, because like things like you said, the new abilities of Mjolnir was cool. I like the idea of Thunderbolt like as a weapon seems also kind of cool.
Yeah. And like the fact that it can like split apart and stuff.
I liked the ending. I thought that was really cute with Thor and the little girl.
Yeah,
I did think it was funny that going back to the whole joke about Stormbreaker being jealous, and he keeps talking about like, no, Mjolnir's in the past, but then at the end he gives Stormbreaker to the little girl and he takes Mjolnir back because he does actually care about the hammer more.
Yeah. I mean, it was his first love, you know?
Yeah.
The other one was made in war.
But yeah,
I mean, let's be real. You didn't write down all these cool things because you were already peeved off, I think, maybe from the start. And then you were just like, your mind was just set on finding shit.
No,
about
it
the
really
movie that
wasn't.
Was
I was, because when I saw this in theaters, I feel like I liked it a lot more because I was just like, oh, fun. Ha ha ha. But yeah.
Well, why didn't you just leave it at that?
because when I watched it again, it wasn't fun.
Well, because then you started thinking analytically about the movie. And
yeah,
because
I'm
know,
trying to actually judge it instead of like, it wouldn't be much of a review if I was just like, turn my brain off and say, oh, good movie. I'd actually think about it.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, I mean, I get that. Yeah. I mean, I watch it with a critical mind. Hey, now I just enjoyed it. Okay.
No, that's fine.
My critical mind saying, was like, yo, that hammer tag, dope. Write that shit down, Luca, now. although I lost it, but
just didn't work out the same way for me.
Okay, so what did you think about the woman Thor version, Jane Foster?
What do you mean, what did I think about her?
What did you think about her character in this movie as a whole?
I think she was kind of underdeveloped. I feel like with a lot of the rest of the movie, it seemed like there was just like such a hard barrier between her like dealing with cancer and like, I'm gonna break this sink off because I'm so pissed off. And yeah, then in the very next scene, she's like making jokes about how she can't come up with a catchphrase. And it's just, I just like, it feels like it's almost not the same person. Like real people can't bounce back and forth that quickly.
Yeah. I just didn't like her. I just didn't like her character.
What didn't you like about her?
I think she was a little too forced. I think her relationship with Thor was kind of boring too. It seemed like a very much a high school kind of romance. I don't want to say she was like doing a bad job, but I don't think her acting was just that solid for me.
I think she just didn't really have much to do. Like her whole story was just like, I have cancer. Like there wasn't anything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to say earlier. Like, I feel like if they had a whole movie to explore her dying, then
no one would watch that. You'd get like 100 million, maybe.
No, people would watch that.
Really? You think so? I wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, nope. Not me.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to watch it.
Granted, I don't go to any of these other ones either, but still. I don't know. I think the one like cute part was the tension between them at the beginning, where it like made the flashback of like Thor and her living together, and then like him whispering to the hammer at one point, like, you know, protect her like with your life or something like that. And then it did that.
Like, fun to know. I guess it makes sense that Thor like has, I don't know if that's because he has Odin force or if that's like his own kind of magic, but it's interesting this to see that he also like has the ability to enchant things. Because, like, he adds the little, like, protection thing to Mjolnir, and then at the end he uses Thunderbolt to give the power to all the little kids.
Yeah, which was fucking sick. I thought that was fucking dope.
I thought it was cute, but I don't know if, I'd call it dope.
I don't know, man. Seeing that these fucking kids, like, destroying, you know, these fucking evil things, and, like, that kid with a teddy bear. Oh, it was just, it was adorable, but like fucking dope. Like, cause he was like for now or like for a day or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, but like, what a great experience for the kids after being captive by these crazy critters and like that guy scaring them in the cage. And then all of a sudden they have like the power of Thor and his lightning. And they're just all of a sudden they became fucking warriors and fighters, which was fucking awesome. And then also, what's that one guy's, the kid's name that could make by Axel. I think he did a very decent job.
Yeah, I think he
of like definitely taking over for his father role.
Tell that, I mean, it's a child actor. There's only so much you can do, but
yeah.
But yeah, he did pretty good.
Yeah, I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed him picking up where his dad left off, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So during the movie, Thor kills Zeus with his own thunderbolt, and then in the end credit scene we find out that he's still alive, and he's like, fine, we're gonna like make them pay. And then he asks his son Hercules to go and fight Thor.
So is that like a new thing that they like just came up with in this movie, or is that like a thing that everyone knows from the comics or like lore of like these gods fighting each other?
Hercules has definitely been a character in Marvel Comics, but I'm not really familiar with any of what he's done. I just know that he exists.
So is that like a setup for another movie?
Probably. Although there's been a lot of setups that never paid off. So who knows if this is actually going to become something, or people might just forget about it.
Oh, right. I mean, that'd be hard to forget about. Like Zeus asking his son to go fight Thor.
Well, but I mean, because like in at the end of the first Doctor Strange movie, they had a setup where, do you remember Mordo from Multiverse of Madness?
Yes, yeah.
With the dreadlocks?
Yeah.
So he was a character in the first Doctor Strange movie, and there was an end credit scene in that movie where he goes and like takes away a guy's magical ability, because he's like, wizards are dangerous and there shouldn't be any magic people in the world. And he like makes it his mission to go around the world and either kill or de-magicify everyone who can use magic. Yeah. And that's like this huge setup, but then they never touched on that again. And that's why even in Multiverse of Madness, there's like one small comment where he's like, oh, in my universe, you tried to kill all the magicians. But like, we never actually saw any of that. It was just an end credit scene and people forgot about it.
Damn. Okay. So maybe and maybe not is the answer. I do actually have a question. Do you have any insight on why the movie was called Love and Thunder? Like, sure, on the surface, love, because there's this thing between, you know, Thor and Jane, and then thunder because they took Zeus's thunder. But like,
Thor is the god of thunder.
True. But then I don't understand the title, like Love and Thunder. So who's Love and is Thunder Thor? Well,
the little girl at the end is named Love.
Well, that doesn't make any sense either. Is the movie about her and Thor? Is that why they named that?
I don't know. I mean, it was probably like a mixture of things. Like, Love refers both to the little girl at the end and also to the connection between Thor and Jane. So it's like this dual purpose thing. And then Thunder is obviously like, there's a lot of thunder and lightning in this movie.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, like every other like Avenger movie, I feel like has a very crisp like title that makes sense, like Endgame, like, okay, I know what this is about. But this one was like, huh, interesting, okay.
I guess you could say it's the movie is about love and it's about thunder. It's just about both things.
True. I guess. I mean, that'd be a reason. It's just a weird title. Like right when I saw it, I was like, well, like that's like not an Avengers type of title in my mind. It was strange. I wonder
who came up with it.
I don't know. Don't ask me. It's a weird title. That's all I can think of.
I know, because they at the very end, the last Korg narration that he does with when he is doing the scene with the little girl, he's like, and from that day forward, they became known as Love and Thunder. And so I was like, oh, well, that's the title there.
Wait, say that again. What happened at the end? And what was his reference to?
he gives the axe to the little girl and he takes Mjolnir, and then they go out and they're like, oh, look, those are the good guys and we need to protect them from the bad guys over there. And they're right. Like, okay. And then they jump and do their lightning thing and you hear Korg's narration and he says, from that day forward, they were known as Love and Thunder, talking about Thor and the little girl.
Damn, what the hell? So they really named the movie after these two. This is interesting. Has nothing to do with like the actual movie. That girl came kind of out of nowhere too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, she was in the beginning and then she died and then she didn't come back until the end.
Yeah, just, I don't know. Kind of out of left field. I mean, I guess that's why they left it as an extra, but well.
But like I said, I didn't really like all of Korg's stuff anyway, so he talked too much.
Yeah, he's cute though.
Yeah.
He's like a funny character to keep around. In short, you know, I'm with you on that. Yeah. Alrighty, well,
trivia.
Yeah, let's do it. Although I guess we already asked quite a lot of good trivia questions. If a trivia in that out there knew what Love and Thunder was really about, that'd be cool.
Yeah, but I mean, I've never really thought about it before, but I don't know if I guess the writer would come up with the name. But also for such a big like Marvel Studios, that might be a separate job. Like it might be like someone like writes the movie and then and then they have like a what do you call it? Not a focus group, like a committee who tries to come up with the names for the movies.
I'm with you. Know. Yeah. I mean, it could be, who knows? Can't be all one dude's job.
Yeah. Got a few really good, facts here. The first one is that most of Chris Hemsworth's family appears in this film.
Really?
Yeah. So he has two sons, Sasha and Tristan, who play young Thor shows him like aging up from like he's a baby and then he's a little kid and then he's a bit older. The two middle ages where he's like one kid and then a little bit of an older kid, those are his sons.
Oh, no way.
And then his daughter India plays Love, the little girl at the end.
No way. That was his kid. It looked nothing like him.
And I have to go back and look now. His wife, Elsa Pataky, plays one of his former lovers. So in the opening scene, during another Korg narration, he's like, Thor's love knows no bounds. And then it shows him like kissing a bunch of different women. One of those was his wife.
That is funny. Yo, how did they get that in the contract? Like, no, you can only hire me if you hire my whole family.
I think it's more just like,
that's intense.
If obviously they need someone for those small roles. They're like, hey, we're going to have a scene where you're kissing some random alien. And they're like, he's just like, well, can my wife be that random alien? And they're like, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I wonder if they got paid for it though. Like the kids and the wife, probably, right?
Probably.
That's a fucking bank. That's 4x bank for that one family.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and his one of his brothers, Luke Hemsworth, is the one who plays Thor on the stage, the like dude. Fake scene.
No shot. That's funny. Jeez, that whole family's just rolling in dough.
Well, I'm sure the like 2 second parts didn't pay that well.
Yeah, but still, you know, at least $1,000.
Maybe.
Probably more.
The diagram that Meek draws during the town meeting in Asgard is actually a diagram of the entire movie plot.
Diagram of the actual real movie plot?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, wow.
So you can see, like, in the top corner, it shows...
oh, my God.
It shows Gore seeing the like, forest in the desert.
With all the skulls.
Yeah, and then there's Korg and the two goats. And then there's Gore attacking the city with all the shadow monsters. And you can see Zeus and the fight at Omnipotent City. And then you can see Thor giving power to all the kids and them fighting the shadow monsters. And there's...
Oh my God, that is sick.
You can see Eternity down at the bottom there. And then in the bottom right is Thor and the little girl.
Yeah, I was about to ask what that is. What's all the question marks there?
Well, because that's the end. So it's like, going off to adventure. So who knows what's going to happen next.
That is dope. Okay, so what is it? Who's this alien dude again?
Meek is Korg's best friend.
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to be like an offhanded joke in Ragnarok because Korg is made out of rocks. And then at one point he sits on Meek. And so it was like, oh, rock crushes scissors because Meek has little like sword hands.
Oh.
But then it turned like he didn't actually kill Meek.
Yeah. That's funny. That's crazy. These are like really cool, like little sketches. Looks like they were drawn by a, you know, group of kids, but that's nice.
Our next fact here, Chris Hemsworth, who this is his 8th time playing Thor, achieved his biggest physique ever for this film, getting up to 231 pounds.
I mean, yeah, he knew he was going to go naked. That's why.
He says his longtime personal trainer, Luke Zaki, said he's the biggest he's ever been. He's the heaviest he's ever been. It said the extent of musculature required Hemsworth to eat at least 8 times a day during the entire duration of filming just to maintain all of the muscle.
It's fucking unreal. And people live like that as like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me. Wow. That's crazy.
Wild.
I mean, put money on it, though. He knew he was going to be going naked. So he was like, I'm going to look real good.
That would have been a whole, like, in the contract for the film. They're like, hey, we're thinking about having a nude scene. Are you cool with that?
Oh, yeah. And he was like, is my penis showing? And they're like, no. He's like, okay, I'm in.
If his penis was showing, immediate R rating. There's no way.
Yeah. Probably more than that, right? Wait. Usually penises don't show in R movies, right? I don't know.
I mean, they do. Yeah, I know in the Watchmen movie was rated R, and there's quite a bit of penis in that movie.
Quite a bit of peen, yeah.
Because one of the characters is naked all the time.
Lovely. But dang, that's crazy. Go him.
Yeah. It says this film was not released in Malaysia, Brunei, Kuwait, or Bahrain due to Disney's refusal to cut LGBT elements.
What? Okay, that's just stupid. There's so many places that do that, though, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you talk about another religion? Cut.
Yeah. But there's like Valkyrie, like, kisses the hand of one of the Greek ladies before they leave Omnipotent City. And there's the whole thing about Korg says in his species, two dudes get together and hold hands in a volcano.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Oh, that's funny.
But apparently that's too much for some countries.
Apparently, yeah. Going too far.
Oh, and did you notice so at the end of the movie, he says, I met someone named Dwayne, and the joke Dwayne there the is Rock? That, like, yeah, because he's made out of rocks.
I'm dead. Oh, that's funny. Okay, that's really good. I mean, that has to be that's probably the reason why they chose that, right?
I would imagine so.
I mean, yeah. Oh, that's good.
And the last fact here, among the gods that Valkyrie names in Omnipotent City, she identifies one as the god of carpentry. However, unlike the other gods she names, this god is not shown, possibly because it is a reference to Jesus, who was a carpenter by trade.
Oh, wow. Dang, these are some good, good thought-provoking facts right here.
Yeah. I did notice that when I was watching it, because she was like, oh, look, there's this god. And then it would show a clip of that god. And then she was like, and there's that god. And then it would show that god. And then she said, god of carpentry. And then it didn't show that god. And I was like, I wonder why they didn't show that one.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't notice that at all. Wow. Dang, this is good. These are some facts that people should read before the movie happens. Before you watch it, at least.
So that you're like, can identify it while you're watching.
Yeah, that'd be so much cooler. Like, oh, shit, you're right, you know?
Well, if anyone has listened to this entire podcast and not seen the movie, now you know.
Now you know, and you're going to be like, oh, shit, I read it. I heard about this.
But yeah, that's all I got for trivia.
So those are bangers. Good stuff.
I believe that means it's time to get wrecked.
All right.
Do you have a recommendation for our audience today?
I do. And it is a pizza place near Central City. Let me get the name real quick. I actually forgot what it's called because I'm terrible with names. Everyone knows this. Terrible with names. It's called Bojo's Pizza. B-A-U-B-E-A-U space J-O-S space pizza. It's very freaking good. They have
Bojo's.
Yeah, Bojo's Pizza. And the crust is maybe like the crust is amazing. So you eat this pizza, right? And then they have this amazing breaded crust. And I'm a crust person. And you eat it there with honey. So like they give you bottles of honey on the table and then you eat the crust with honey. It's super cool. The pizza was amazing. It's a fun looking indoor place. So I guess if it's near you, it doesn't just have to be this one area, but Bojo's Pizza. Very good.
Cool.
Do you have any recommendations?
My rec for today is going to be, I just recently finished watching a limited series called Fleabag. There's only 2 seasons, and the person who created it said there probably won't be any more, but great show. It's I think it's on Amazon Prime. Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. But it's basically a show about a woman living in London and just like dealing with family drama. And she's got like a traumatic event happened in the recent past. And so that like continually haunts her. And then she's having to deal with all this other bullshit from her family as well. But it's really fun. It's kind of like a dark comedy. Like it's this
really
like it's funny, but like the actual situations are not that funny.
Yeah. So I just Googled it. It's two seasons made in 2016 and it's a comedy drama. So what you're saying is spot on. It's funny, but it's serious.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I loved every single episode. It's a great series. Highly recommend.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, when asked by the BBC about season 3, the producer is a she said, "I have thought about it and there isn't going to be one. This is it. This is the final curtain."
Yeah.
And yes, I did say that last time is what she told the BBC. So
cool. The person that created the show actually originally did it as like a live performance, like it was like a stage play. And then she adapted her own play into a television show.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, you can watch it for free on Amazon Prime, but then for $1.99 you can watch it on anything else really. From Apple to
free
YouTube.
Meaning you are already like subscribed to
paying
Amazon
for
Prime.
It. Yeah. you're basically paying for it. But honestly, like who doesn't have an Amazon Prime, right?
You'd be surprised.
I don't know. Probably true. Yeah. It is like what, $100-something now a year? It went up.
Did it go up? I honestly don't know.
I think so, yeah.
I remember it being a super big deal when I was very upset when I lost my student Prime because it was like $50 a year. And then they were like, "No, you're not a student anymore. So it's $100. And I was like, shit.
You're like, God dang it. Okay. Yeah. I had that experience with Spotify. That hurt.
Yeah. I think it was either earlier this year or sometime last year, but it was like fairly recently I changed my Spotify plan because obviously after I graduated I couldn't use student Spotify anymore, and then Elena was about to graduate and this is before we knew that she was gonna start new school. But so rather than like both of us doing an individual plan, Spotify has like a duo plan that you can like kind of like a family plan, but it's like they have a separate plan if it's only two people. And so I did that. So we're just like lumped together.
That's a good way to do it though.
Yeah. It's a little bit cheaper.
Alrighty. Well, with that, I think that people want to communicate with us, Cayman.
Well, they should be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you do want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all of that is in the description. And Luca, what kind of messages can they send us?
They can send us anything from movie recommendations to maybe they have, you know, something they would like us to know about, another show, you know, another good restaurant in the area, who knows what. Also, you can, you know, give us feedback. Of course, you can, you know, rate us on wherever you're listening. Hopefully it's 5 stars. And if not, let us know why and then wait and see if we change that, because we will. Maybe.
Maybe. Because they're like, I'm giving you 3 stars because I actually don't like your names. I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
right.
Sorry.
Well, that's too bad. I can't really change that one. But I guess you can start calling me by my middle name. But, you know.
Well, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.